Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. In just a few minutes each week, we talk about one building, one statue, one park bench, one urban element that has an interesting backstory, something special to reveal to us about life in all its shapes and sizes in the city. This week, there will be an explosion echoing across 101 years. And in the end, we'll also ask you what you want to remember. Tall Stories may be an audio snack, but it's one we hope is oddly satisfying. So, for Tall Story number two, we're going to go to a Georgian square that today has a medical bent, Queen Square in London's Bloomsbury. At its heart is a modest park where nurses are grabbing coffee in the spring sun and an old gent is walking his equally old Scotty dog. But let's ignore them because we're here to see a small and rather worn brass plaque that is screwed onto a circular concrete slab. The tiny square of metal, the starting point for our tall story, records what happened here on the 8th of September 1915. Because that summer night, high up in the skies, a German Zeppelin airship slowly chugged across London under the command of Heinrich Mathy. His task was to drop incendiary bombs on the city below. This was an air attack, First World War style. When the airship reached the square, a bomb was released that slipped through the night air, exploding where we now stand. While the explosion was terrifying, the plaque tells us that although nearly 1,000 people slept in the surrounding buildings, no person was injured. Not everyone got away so lightly. That night, and during many more Zeppelin raids, hundreds lost their lives and London was terrorised. But you have to look for the evidence of all that terror, all those attacks. You have to search out the small markers, the subtle memorials, like this brass sign. Most Londoners know nothing of those events. This is because London is slow to over-memorialise fright and destruction. Like other big cities, it has a strand of DNA that triggers almost instant healing, a healthy desire to be unbeaten, pull together and move on. You need to know where to rub your hand to feel the city's scars and wounds. Often, its instinct is to keep them hidden. For example, if you head north out of this square, in a few minutes you'll be in Tavistock Square, dodging cyclists and rushing traffic. It was here, during the morning rush on the 7th of July 2005, that an Islamic extremist detonated a bomb on a double-decker bus that killed 13 Londoners. It was one of a series of bombs that day that would take the lives of some 52 people. There is a memorial to the dead in Hyde Park, the green lung at the heart of the city, and there are plans for another here in Tavistock Square. But there is already a marker of that day. Look closely at the buildings and you can see the score rips from where exploded metal struck stone. Those chips and dents are somehow more moving than the polished, considered plaques and statues that try to sum up our feelings, to put down our thoughts. And once you start seeing these tears, you begin to see them everywhere, from the bombs that destroyed so much of the city during the Second World War to the terrorist attacks of the IRA. Today, as cities from Brussels to Lahore deal with the aftermath of modern terror attacks, they will also have to decide how to remember. Urban memory, collective feelings are hard to manufacture and hard to corral, but there is something to be said for not doing too much. I don't mean that in a brutal way. Of course, sons, daughters, parents will need and want a place to reflect. But for the rest of us, the tug of normality is too strong. We have to go back to work, get on with our lives. And in a way, that is how you celebrate the dead, by not cowering in the dark. And if we do want to go back in time to remember those moments, it may be a small plaque, a scarred wall spired from a bus window that can be more poignant than any grand statue. It's only then that you can look to the sky and see a cloud shaped like a zeppelin moving overhead and go back to that day 101 years ago. You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thanks for listening, City Lovers.